on them.
Yeah. And the sometimes you have to hold it until it turns red.
There you go.
Got it?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Amy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, March 1st, 2023 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Ressam.
Here.
Director Karen Bright.
Here.
Director Linda Austin.
Here.
Would you please stand if you're able and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. That takes us to item three, agenda review. Any reason to move it around?
Nothing here.
All right. Then we'll move on to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Address the group as one body and keep it within our jurisdiction. Would anyone like to speak on items not on tonight's agenda? All right. Hearing no one, we don't have a remote option here, right?
No, we do not.
So I will close public comment, and we will move on to item five. This is the consent agenda, and tonight we have three items: approval of warrants, the approval of meeting minutes of February 1st, 2023, and our bylaws annual review that we visited a while back. So any questions about those items?
Not here.
Okay, then let's go ahead and open up public comment. Would anyone like to comment on items 5A, B, or C? And seeing no one rushing to the podium, we'll close public comment and bring it back around to us for discussion and possible action.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
And I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion to second. Any discussion? And hearing none, let's get a roll call, please.
Director Karen Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent. That takes us to the fun stuff. Item 6A is submittal of a resolution honoring Karen White for her outstanding service to the ratepayers of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. I guess you will read. How are we doing this?
So I'll make a little introduction, and then if you would like to read the resolution, would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator, and we have a special opportunity here to take a pause and recognize and celebrate service of some past board members for the Sanitation District. And first, I would like to thank Karen White for her service at the Sanitation District. Karen was actually involved in the recruitment and hiring of me. She was one of the three board members that interviewed me. 4.5 years ago when I started at the Sand District. And so I'm very thankful, and I thank you for the community that you serve for so long. We didn't even have access to how long you had served in Oceano, but we definitely took a look at the 27 different board meetings that you attended for us, and we've got some good work done under your leadership. And with that, I'll turn it over to Director Karen Ray Ressam to read the resolution recognizing you, and Amy has a printed version that she'd like to provide you. Thank you.
All right, Miss Karen. I'm calling you Miss Karen because we have a plethora of Karens, and we're fantastic. So this is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District honoring you, Karen White, for your outstanding service to the ratepayers of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Whereas the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District wishes to express its appreciation to Karen White for her many years of service, resulting in a safe, highly efficient treatment facility, an extensive water sewer system serving the communities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. And whereas Karen White, in her tenure as a district director, has served with distinction on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board for 3 years, and whereas Karen White, having served as district vice chair in 2022 and as a district alternate in both 2017 and 2018, has participated in 22 district board meetings. And whereas Karen White has provided her personal time, dedication, knowledge, and for the benefit of the district. And whereas Karen White has participated in many district decisions, including adopting union representation for district operators, contracting with technical consultants for interim leadership, recruiting and hiring a new and fantastic district director, or administrator, and whereas Karen White was instrumental in permitting, funding, and constructing the district's $28 million wastewater redundancy project and the hiring of district administrator, and whereas Karen White's knowledge and insight are hereby recognized in leading the district through several critical periods with respect to rates, finances, and administration. And now, therefore, be it resolved that by the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, that the district recognizes the accomplishments of the fantastic Karen White as a member of the Chairman of the Board of Directors, and hereby commend and extend the deepest thanks and appreciation for her contribution and the manner in which she has served the citizens of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors and staff of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District wishes continued health and success in her future endeavors. Please do. You don't have to be very short.
First of all, I just really, really want to praise everyone in the whole sewer district, all the good things that have happened. And I say that in a strange perspective because for the last 85 years of my life, I have lived with septic tanks. Never, except for a short period when I was at Cal Poly, have I ever had the luxury of a sewer system. And until you deal monthly in feeding, every 6 months with other feeding, pumping out, paying for, having backed up, and digging out septic tanks, do you understand how wonderful the sewer plant can be? So I just want to commend everybody for all the good works that, and the redundancy project, you know, that's going to make it even better for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Would it be okay to pause for photos?
Yeah.
You want? What's that?
Sure. Whatever the honorees want.
Just pick them up.
We'll do. Yeah. Okay. We'll do them together.
Okay, so am I going to throw this back to you for Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have to make a motion to adopt that resolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All right. We have a motion to second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's a tough one.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent. We're on to item 6B, which is a submittal of a resolution honoring Jeff Lee for his outstanding service to the ratepayers of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Just going back a little bit about Jeff. Jeff, as you all know, was most recently the mayor of Grover Beach. But a little history about Jeff and I is I think it was probably around 2010 or 9 when you joined the county. It was 12, always later than that. So Jeff and I have been acquainted since 2012 when he joined the County Public Works Department and started providing service for the larger community of the county. And then quickly landed on city council at Grover and eventually became mayor. And as serendipity comes into life, I found myself later working for Jeff here at the sanitation district. Over the past 4 years, Jeff has been instrumental at providing leadership. He's served as board chair twice and has done a lot of good work to advance this community. And with that, I'll turn this over for the reading of the resolution to Director Karen Ray Russom. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Mr. Lee, you ready? I might skip all the Jeff Lees the whole time. It just sounds weird, but it's on there, I swear. Okay. You can be an honorary Karen. So again, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, honoring you, Jeff Lee, for your outstanding service to the ratepayers of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Whereas the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District wishes to express its appreciation to you for your many years of service, resulting in a safe, highly efficient treatment facility and extensive sewage system serving the communities of Rio Grande, Gerber Beach, and Oceano. Whereas in his tenure as a district director has served with distinction on South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board for 4 years, has attended 47 board meetings, served as both vice chair and chairperson of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation Board, and served the district and its ratepayers throughout the entirety of the COVID-19 pandemic, and provided his personal time, dedication, and knowledge for the benefit of the district. And whereas the district, under the direction of Jeff Lee, has accomplished many significant improvements, including rehabilitation of primary clarifier number one, refurbishing the number two digester, and was instrumental in funding and constructing the district's $28 million wastewater redundancy project. And Jeff Lee's knowledge and insight are hereby recognized in leading the district through several critical periods with respect to rates, finances, and administration. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District that the district recognizes the accomplishments of Jeff Lee as a member and chairman of the Board of Directors and hereby commend and extend its deepest thanks and appreciation for his contribution and the manner in which he served the citizens of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors and staff of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District wishes continued health and success to Jeff Lee in his future endeavors.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and fellow directors. So thank you tonight. It has been an honor, and it continues to be an honor to be a member of the South County and a member of Grover Beach, but then also being able to serve on amazing community organizations and be a part of the South County with my leadership, hopefully my leadership skills, my engineering skills, and a little bit of humor along the way. So I think the San District is in great hands with both the director and staff, as well as the board, and I wish you continued success, and I would love to be at the ribbon cutting later this summer for when the redundancy project comes online. So thank you very much.
I'm quite sure that you will have a gilded invitation. Thank you. All right, you want to do some photos? Or shall we do the vote on this first?
Why
don't we vote on that first?
Okay. Then I will make a motion that we adopt this resolution.
I'll say.
All right, we have a motion second. Can you roll call, please?
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, let's do some photos. Let's have some fun.
I don't know. I'm just waiting.
Why don't we have a board over here who will have you guys in front of us?
Oh,
just she did not want the
She wanted a scrapbook version. She did not want a framed version. There's no favoritism. These are custom.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Oh, no, we didn't say that.
Jeff, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure working with us. We'll see you, though. We'll see
you around.
Yeah. And I know I'll see Karen a lot. I talk to her every day. She's still involved. Yeah.
All right. Yes, we do.
Okay.
I don't like saying goodbye.
I know. So don't make us.
I'm mad at you. It's a Friday,
made her
but
cry.
I'm mad at you. I'm happy for you, but I'm mad at you. All right, everyone. Let's move on to item 6C. Item 6C is the WWTP wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update. And I'll turn it back over to our district administrator.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. We have a wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update. We do these quarterly. And so this evening, we have Ms. Eileen Shields with MKN Consultants out of here in Arroyo Grande, who's been helping us with project management throughout the duration of the project. So Ms. Shields has compiled this update for you this evening, and I'll scroll through some pictures as she's given the update, and we'll be available to answer any questions your board might have following her presentation. Thank you. Go ahead, Eileen.
Thank you, Mr. Gent. Good evening, honorable board and district staff and the public. I'm happy to be here to provide an update on the redundancy project. It's been a few months since I've been in front of your board, and been forever since I've been in front of some of you. So welcome. I'm excited. As you know, the redundancy project's been in the works for quite some time at the district, and it's one of the largest capital improvement projects that the district's taken on since 1986, wastewater treatment plant improvements. And project construction started, around January of 2021. I've got a summary in the staff report of the schedule. We are, you know, as of drafting of this schedule summary in early February, about 736 days had elapsed on the contract, and we've got a little less than 6 months to go. So we're marching along. We're getting there. There's been a lot of construction, a lot of concrete coming up and backfill going in. We're up and out of the ground, which we're really happy about. We've got some piping still going on and some conduit, but all the major structures are in place, and it's all nice and shiny and new. So if you haven't been out there to see the new structures, I highly recommend it. We're about 82% complete by time and marching on day by day. So the January 1st schedule update from the contractor had shown a completion date of June 29th, which is about 16 days ahead of the contractual completion date. Critical path activities really consisted of rehabilitation of the existing secondary clarifier 1, for which that mechanism and receipt of that mechanism from the manufacturer is the critical path, setting the critical path. So we had a rather large window from the manufacturer as to when that was expected to come in. The contractor's been talking with them day by day. There's some concerns about supply. And the project team, the construction manager, and the contractor, district staff, and I are getting together to see what we can do to help expedite that. So the next schedule may show some shifting, but we're getting together to figure out how to mitigate it. I wanted to provide a heads up on that. Some of the things they're looking at is getting the shipment in pieces and being able to start on some of the coating activities and other things ahead of the rest of it. The budget summary follows. The contract award was just under $27 million. Contract change orders to date, a little over $380,000, which is a change order percent of 1.41. It's pretty remarkable for any construction contract, especially one of this size with all the unknowns working at an existing treatment plant. Percent complete by cost is about 86%. There were 4 change orders this period, totaling around $140,000 altogether. There's detail on those change orders there, and I won't go through all of it, but happy to answer questions if you have any on those. The next item is the overall project budget. So this really combines the construction costs and your soft costs, and looks at, we had a construction contingency as well as a professional services contingency. So we split that out. Spent to date in total just over $29 million, and our balance to finish is about $8 million. I'll note that we still have a relatively healthy construction contingency of $2.8 million and just under $200,000 in contingency for professional services. The summary of work for September through January follows with some bullets of some of the items that have been completed. September really completed the work at Secondary Clarifier 2. In October, that Secondary Clarifier was brought online. We ran through a temporary startup period to ensure that the mechanism was working. Everything was functioning as expected before the district gave the go-ahead and allowed, you know, the contractor to bring it fully online, and now it's in operation as the plant's only secondary clarifier. I was about to say primary secondary clarifier, which wouldn't quite be right, but the only secondary clarifier. So with that new secondary clarifier online and functioning and treating the wastewater, the existing secondary clarifier could be brought offline in order to allow the rehabilitation work on that clarifier. So there's a piping that got upgraded. The contractor brought that clarifier offline, got in, cleaned it out, did an inspection on the concrete. So Kennedy Jenks, the designer, came out and did a structural inspection to look at what kind of repair work would be required. There was new piping that had to be installed underneath the existing secondary clarifier structure. So that was completed by Jack and Moore. The RAS and WAS well was installed adjacent to the secondary clarifier to allow return activated sludge to be sent from that clarifier back to the new aeration basins when it's functioning. So there's a lot of work. In addition to all that excavation and completion of the concrete structures, once that was completed, the contractor was able to turn off the groundwater dewatering pumps and decommission the dewatering system, which was a good milestone for us. I think that was completed in December. Let's see. I believe I noted it. Yeah, I think it was completed in December. So that's completed. We don't anticipate a need for further groundwater dewatering at this time. In December, there were two blackouts. So the district and the contractor worked together to plan electrical blackouts in order for some electrical work to be completed. And they were on standby power for the plant during that time. So they brought in a generator and had backup generators in order to provide electrical redundancy during that blackout. In December, it was a December 6th blackout when the power came back on, some of the motors were running in reverse. There was some damage. I think with three-phase power, it's possible to switch some of those phases. It'll cause motors to run in reverse. And so there were some other issues going on that the district staff and the contractor were trying to troubleshoot with the generator and the automatic transfer switch and some alarms. And as a result, some of the two of the clarifiers, the primary clarifiers, ran in reverse, and there was damage that was sustained. As soon as it was discovered, it was shut off, they fixed the problem. It was a quick fix, but the damage had already occurred. District staff was able to work quickly and get one of the primary clarifiers temporarily repaired so that they had one functioning clarifier. And the other one, there was some work to be done there. And so we went back and forth, and we had the manufacturer come out to inspect the clarifier and determine the extent of the damage and what would need to be replaced. The district staff, myself, and M&S, the construction manager, worked together to provide directive to the contractor to do a temporary repair. That was completed within a few days after we got the directive over, and they got back online with two primary clarifiers before the holidays hit, which was really our big concern. We needed to have that, both of those clarifiers ready for any high flows that would come from the holidays and people visiting. So as a result, the primary clarifier is running under a temporary fix, and we've provided a directive to the contractor to repair it with a permanent fix, which will include a complete replacement of the clarifier mechanism with a new mechanism from the manufacturer. And so that's an ongoing issue that we're working on. Anticipated work from here and throughout the extent of the contract is going to be startup and testing for the Phase B facilities, which is the Phase B, I believe that's the secondary clarifier one and the rehabilitation of that. Continued work on flood walls, flat work on site, continued mechanical installations at the aeration basins and the secondary clarifier. And then there'll be functional testing of SC1. The Phase B is the permanent power. Yeah. So Phase B will be getting permanent power for the new facilities ready and the new generator and all that. Phase D will be bringing the new secondary clarifier online and really starting up and commissioning the full redundant secondary treatment system, the aeration basins, and the new existing secondary clarifier. And then, of course, repair and permanent repair of the primary clarifier one. So there are various the executive summaries from the construction manager's reports are attached, as well as photos from the last 5 months, and the detailed budget breakdown is also attached. And that concludes the update. I'm happy to help respond to any questions you might have.
Great. Let's see if there are any. Do you have any questions?
Just one, maybe to help me understand a little better regarding the incorrect rotation. Is that something that you've seen before or something that we believe is now corrected?
It is corrected. The motors are all turning in the right direction. I know that it is a common thing to check with three-phase powers to check the phase, they call it the phase rotation, and make sure that, you know, if your facility runs counterclockwise, that once you turn it back on, everything's running counterclockwise or vice versa. So it's definitely something we're watching, and we're on top of, you know, the plans and who's going to be doing what and all that for any of these shutdowns. So I don't know.
That's sufficient. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Any questions?
No, I think it's really thorough report, great report.
My only question is, what did that cost us? And where does that appear in here?
So right now it's costing the district nothing. It's our position that this is damage that was caused by the contractor's work. It was not part of the work. There was no work planned for the primary clarifiers, and it was caused because of an issue with the electrical shutdown that was required for their work. And so I think if the contractor takes exception to that, there's a claims procedure outlined in the contract that would be followed. But it's certainly the district's position that this shouldn't cost the district anything.
Got it. So we may hear more about that later, even after we're done?
It's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one. Is it the dewatering, was it all the rain we had affect any of that when we had to do more of it?
So the rain that we had occurred after the dewatering pumps were shut off, at least, you know, the larger storms. And what happened, the aeration basin was not full of water. And so if you're familiar, there are some one-way valves in that basin to allow groundwater to come in if the basins are empty and the groundwater rises. And that's by design, such that the walls don't have to be so large that they hold back all the weight of the water when it's high, if it's empty. And so water was coming into the aeration basins, but they were able to handle it there and pump it out.
So there was no problems caused from all the rain, that means.
No.
Right.
No.
All right, that's it for questions, and so I shall open up public comment to anyone who is invisible in the audience, and seeing no one come forward, I'll close public comment, and this is a receive and file, so we shall deem it received and filed. So that takes us to item 6D. This is the rotation of district financial auditors.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Keith Collins, General Counsel to the District. This is another receive and file item for your receipt. At the last meeting, we discussed, ancillary to the discussion of the financial report, whether the district is required to solicit the services of a different auditing firm, given that this particular firm who the district has been using has completed these audits for the last 6 years. So we researched the law, and it is specific to the auditor, not the auditing firm. And so what the auditing firm has informed us is that they have rotated the auditors such that no single supervising auditor is participating in each of these consecutive audits. So we don't have to switch auditing firms if we don't want to, but it's certainly your choice if you'd like to do an RFP and see what other services are out there.
Thank you. I am going to look to my right since this was your...
Well, thank you very much for the clarification. I appreciate it. My thought, since you're looking at me, would be probably best practices would be to go out for an RFP, just to make sure that we are getting good value for our dollar. But I mean, I'm not married to that, idea. So I'd just be interested to hear what my colleagues say.
Okay. Well, I don't. Ever since I've been here off and on the board, Moss Levy has done the audits. I think, does it matter that they, because they have that knowledge, of, does it make it easier for us to continue with them?
I'm sure they do have some institutional knowledge.
They have the institutional knowledge. So
yes,
if we were to get someone else, it would cost.
It might take a little bit more time. And I am informed that their rates are significantly lower than some of their competitors.
Okay. It's been 6 years. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I agree that, you know, it's good. But I think right now I would tend to just want to stick with Moss Levy.
How long have we had the current auditor himself? Because it's my recollection that I've seen him 3 times. So it might be time to rotate.
I don't know the specifics, but I do know that as long as they're not doing it 6 times in a row, it's legal.
Oh, I thought you said, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I thought you said it was 3.
No, it's the statute is Government Code 12410.6, and it prohibits the same auditor from doing it 6 consecutive years.
Okay.
So we've had the same one for 3?
I was just in my head. I'm like, well, it's been at least 3, but...
I believe it would be 4 right now, but they do rotate the folks that come into the office and do the actual audit, but Mr. Alex Hom has made the presentation 4 consecutive years with the previous year going to Glenn Burdett, a different accounting firm out of San Luis Obispo. And I will state that I take no exception to your board's, you know, decisions or thoughts on this. If we want to go out for an RFP, we can certainly do that. And I don't consider it problematic. And I believe the auditor understands the issue in the practice. So if it would be more comfortable for your board, we can do that. But the rates, I'll speak a little bit to when we went out for an RFP between Glenn Burdett and Moss Levy, that Glenn Burdett was approximately $35,000 for an annual audit and closer to $16,000 for Moss Levy. So I don't want to make that decision based solely on price, but that was a pretty extreme discrepancy. So we could certainly see if there's other firms out there that would participate, or we could do a full one and then just base our decision based on what we see come back, and maybe we stay with Moss Levy. There would be a couple options there if we went out for an RFP. And have to review the rules for if we have to make qualification-based selection versus cost-based selection for an auditing firm. So I might have to defer to the law on that. But anyways, I just wanted to communicate that to your board that if anybody would be more comfortable going with another firm, we can certainly do it.
May I ask a question? Mm-hmm. So then basically the auditor has rectified this concern because they send in a different supervising auditor for each audit, correct? Is that what I'm understanding?
They send in different auditors for each. They've sent in different auditors for each audit.
Okay.
And the supervising auditor will change within the statutory time
very
through
good.
Moss Levy. Yes.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you very much. So, as I said, I'm good to go with whatever the majority says here. I mean, it's not a real big concern of mine. It's just something I thought it was a GASB rule, and that was school district. So, you know, I have no qualms or questions regarding the validity of your audits and so on. So,
my only thought is kind of where Mr. Gent is. Which is, if any one of you was uncomfortable, then let's remove that. But if your discomfort has been removed, I don't have a problem. I'm glad to have this information. I think it's really good information. You make me think about something I haven't thought about before.
Yeah.
So if you're comfortable, I'm good. If you want to go forward, then I will support you with it and we'll second it. So it's up to you.
Nope, I'm absolutely fine. As long as we're within the law and everyone up here all good with it. I'm fine.
Sounds great. Well, then we will, again, open up to public comment. And seeing no one, we will close public comment. And this is a receive and file, so we shall consider that received and filed. Thank you very much for doing that research. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And this takes us to the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
I'll go ahead and get started. Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones.
That sounds so good.
Honorable ladies of the board.
Oh, yes, exactly.
It is Women's History Month.
That's right.
Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent, and I'm presenting the Plant Operations Report for the reporting period of February 1st through February 24th. During this reporting period, the district's facility exceeded its NPDES permit limit for a daily maximum fecal coliform. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. Report on exceedance is discussed at the end of this report, and all other process values were within permit limitations as shown in the monthly plant data for February 2023, aside from the highlighted greater than 16,000 fecal coliform exceedance. Some operations and maintenance tasks staff performed are as follows. We unplugged the centrifuge discharge chute, drained and rinsed eastern four channels of the chlorine contact tank, continued loading scrap metal for recycling, installed new exit control loop for front gate, troubleshot our faulty fixed film reactor pump number 2 failure alarm. We removed and installed new reclaimed water strainer, checked and marked underground service alerts, used street sweeper to thoroughly clean plant roadways. We assisted Enviro with installation of new temperature gauges, removed and installed new centrifuge motor, removed and installed new centrifuge drive belts. We replaced bearings on our centrifuge motor, painted safety bollards throughout facility, removed old electrical conduit where old transformer was removed. Electrocraft assisted operation staff with troubleshooting of our emergency generator louvers, installed new O-ring on our Amiod filters, troubleshot our chlorine disinfection system. Staff also completed a multitude of work orders and preventative maintenance on equipment. Some training staff participated in was on personal protective equipment types. We did have a call out during this reporting period on February 24th at 5:27 a.m. We had a power failure. Operation staff responded and verified plant operation on emergency generator. Utility power failure was due to a down power line. PG&E was on site to switch utility power from the back of the plant to the front of the plant due to a down power line. Power was restored at approximately 12:30 p.m. excuse me. Regarding the exceedances, on February 16th, the district recorded the first fecal coliform bacteria result of greater than 16,000 MPN per 100 milliliters. for February 15th. The cause of the exceedance was due to a low total chlorine residual. Following the observation of the low chlorine residual on February 15th, the district grabbed an additional fecal coliform sample to ensure disinfection was occurring. The subsequent fecal coliform analysis performed had a result of 49 MPN per 100 milliliters, which is well within our permit limitations. The daily maximum fecal coliform bacteria for February 15th was averaged for greater than 8,024 MPN per 100 milliliters. Our additional exceedance was on February 22nd. The district recorded a fecal coliform bacteria result of greater than 16,000 MPN per 100 milliliters for February 21st. The cause of the exceedance was due to a low chlorine residual. Following the observation of the low total chlorine residual on February 21st, district operations staff troubleshot the sodium hypochlorite or chlorine bleach injection system and found a large blockage, calcified sodium hypochlorite in the chemical feed line at the flash mixer. I do have a photo attached. The blockage was cleared and chlorine residuals returned to normal. In addition, the district performed ocean sampling of the surf zone, surf zones A, B, C, and D, per our NPDES permit for total coliform bacteria and fecal coliform bacteria. The results from that analysis were within normal range. So the blockage that occurred in the chlorine bleach injection system was likely the cause of the February 15th fecal coliform exceedance as well. Currently, district operations staff perform a monthly inspection of the chlorine bleach injection system, but does not inspect the feed piping internals where the blockage occurred. The internal inspection of the feed piping internals has been added to the monthly work order to prevent reoccurrence of the blockage. So with that, that has for calendar year 2023, we have two exceedances, one on February 15th, which is due to expire on August 14th, and then another on February 21st, which is due to expire on August 20th. And I'll keep these on the plant operations report just to reference. Moving on, I've added some photos of staff. The first photo of staff, the first couple photos of staff is the team installing a new amiot filter on the east side of our chlorine contact tank. And then the next two photos are of staff performing the ocean water sampling. And with that, that concludes my report. And I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions?
Yes. On the ocean monitoring, where do you do that? Is it where the creek
outfall? So there's multiple locations. So one is 300 meters north of the outfall, along the surf zone, which is just kind of along the coastline there. One's right at where the outfall heads out into the ocean. One's 300 meters south, and then one's at the mouth of Rio Grande Creek.
So the coliform amounts, is there a cause if there's too much of the fecal in the water that is sewer plant held for that?
Potentially.
Because with the rainstorms in the creek.
It's tough to say, but what we did is we also, they perform monthly analysis, and so what we could do is we can compare it to those monthly analysis and say, hey, we're well within.
It's from the storm runoff through the, all
the. And usually the samples close to the creek are typically a little bit higher in fecal coliform just because the creek runoff. I mean, we have animals. Handling business in the creek, and that just makes its way out to the ocean.
Well said. Any questions? No questions, thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, I think I was good.
Forget that.
No, I'm good.
That picture of that blockage is something else.
Yeah.
The fact we were getting anything done is surprising.
Yeah, it was. And it's not a
what
typical inspection. So what happens with the sodium hypochlorite, it just begins to calcify. It almost turns into like a lime. And it hardens, and it just created that blockage. It's not a typical inspection because it's a pipe fitting that threads in there. So typically when we inspect, if you look at the photo, you can kind of see the propeller at the bottom of the picture. That's typically where we're inspecting because that's where the chlorine comes out.
Oh,
this, we had to actually remove that fitting to even see this.
Oh, my.
But luckily we found it. And we added it to our monthly work order to inspect that monthly.
And just when all those had dropped off.
I know.
And I go, bam, bam, there's two more.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. In February, it's like, you know, but.
Yeah, we'll just avoid number four.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Gent.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent. I've got a brief district administrator report here. So some capital projects, obviously the redundancy project update was given by Ms. Shields earlier this evening. Some miscellaneous items. I had a phone call with the new Central Coast Blue general manager, Jeff English, who I think most of you are familiar with. So that went well, and so Jeff and I are planning to get together and have lunch early this month and talk about the project and just talk about coordination between the sanitation district and how we can be a partner. The district participated in a pre-storm call with National Weather Service for this most recent storm. Everybody was on heightened alert after the January 9th, and so all of your agencies were represented there as well. And so we were well prepared for the rains that just happened, but they were of no consequence for the plant. The recent rains were not as significant as the January 9th stuff. We provided some comments back to two Grover Beach capital improvement projects. District's coordinating with the Central Coast Blue design team on some of their wastewater flows, specifically like their actual sanitation wastewater flows coming from the new facility. So those plans are being reviewed. And then we received reimbursement for our mutual aid that we provided to County Public Works after the January 9th storms. We provided, it only amounted to just under $1,200, but we had a few hours of staff time delivering sandbags with one of our flatbed pickups and shuttling sandbags on the north side of the levee. Some plant tours in the process of coordinating a future visit with Grover Beach alternate Clint Wyrick, and then I'll also note after this board package came out, Director Bright reached out and said she'd like to join Clint for that tour, so we'll be coordinating having them both on site to take a look at that. Some tentative items, we've got a proposal for implementation of a cogeneration project that we're going to try to get to you on April 5th. This project is something that Michael and I have been working on even prior to the redundancy project. And so cogeneration, what that is that currently we use anaerobic digestion at the plant, so we generate methane gas, and we can use that methane gas to generate power. And there's a really short turnaround time on that with where power costs are now. Currently, we flare all that gas, so it really becomes a no-brainer, like, can we get it to work? The one issue is cogeneration units of years gone by had premature failures. And so there's a little bit of a stigma and concerns. And so you have to go a different route. And PG&E has this program where it's a separate contracting code. It's 4217 of the government code. And it allows you to select the equipment individually because the low bid environment was problematic for these cogeneration systems. And so with this PG&E program, they can handle whatever version of the maintenance you want them to handle. But at the end of the day, we can offset the initial study is showing we can offset about 80% of our power use and about 95% of our gas use at the plant with the cogeneration system.
Oh, my.
And so we'll be bringing that proposal forward and asking for funding to continue that design effort to move forward with what will ultimately be a magnitude of a $3 million cogeneration system that will provide power for the facility. Other items, we want to get through the review of the personnel policy manual. That actually slipped this month. I wanted to bring it tonight, but it was a little bit larger than I could get through. And then our mid-year budget review will also be bringing to you at the next meeting. And with that, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
I have a question. That's going to cost us $3 million. We might have $3 million left in the tank, but is that earmarked money for if we have leftovers from the redundancy project, or can we use that for this?
So the way redundancy is structured, if we only had a leftover $3 million from redundancy, that none of that money would be earmarked or have any type of strings to it. It would be general purpose money. We would have spent all of our debt money on redundancy, and that would be our portion that would be left over. So to answer your question, whatever we save on redundancy would be available to fund another project. So this project could be funded with taking on some debt or in the current market as much cash as possible, because debt is more expensive now.
Yeah. All right, great. That's good news. Okay. Again, that is a receive and file, so we shall receive and file. And I'll write back up there and make sure I'm not missing anything. So that takes us to item 7, which is board member communications. Anything to communicate, board members?
I have none, thank you.
Nor do I. All right, so that takes us to item 8, adjournment. We'll see you in a month.
Smashing.
So we're meeting just once a month now, right?
Okay.